This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football is back, baby. But football actually never left us. But he's joining us now here on the John Schuster-Cola Banker Hotline. That will be Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider. Matthew, football for you is every single day of your life. Football for me, I wouldn't say it's every single day in my life, but I love football not as much as you love football. But, man, now you're back at TCO with regards to an actual training camp where everybody's there. What is the feel like of everybody being together as one again?
Yeah, and apologies. It's a little windy out here. I'm out at TCO Performance Center on the field right now, so they're just getting warmed up for practice today. But, you know, the feeling, it's tough because this is a very exciting season with a lot of new players and a lot of new looks and new quarterbacks and all sorts of storylines across the roster, big signings and Jonathan Crenard, Andrew Van Ginkel, things like that, and turning over a new leaf for this franchise for a roster that is now fully belonging to Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell. And I think this is probably as excited as those guys have been for a training camp, and then the tragedy with Kyree Jackson happens, and that just throws everybody for a loop. I mean, this is something that there's no playbook for. There's no, you know, previous experience for a lot of coaches. I mean, most people have never gone through something like this, certainly not the players, to have their teammate die in the off season and then have to start training camp just a couple of weeks later while they're still in the middle of the grieving process and dealing with what happened to somebody that now will never get to fulfill their career. That is a lot of heavy stuff. And today is the funeral in Maryland for Kyree Jackson. So Kevin O'Connell is not here. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, Brian Flores, Wes Phillips is going to be running today's practice. But it is a really, really difficult time for everybody. And you haven't seen the same sort of everybody's back, school's back in session, you know, like a lot of joking around and guys kind of going crazy to start. It hasn't been that. It's been a lot more muted, and that doesn't mean they haven't looked good. I think actually Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy have looked as good in the first 2 days as you could have asked them to. It's just there isn't that same first day back type of feeling that there is most seasons when the guys get here to training camp.
Because of the funeral arrangements and stuff like that, is there anybody that's excused from being a part of the practice?
Yeah, a couple of guys. Dallas Turner was probably the biggest name that is not going to be here. He played with Kyree Jackson when they were at Alabama, so he is going to the funeral. But there might be one or two other players who were close with him, one undrafted free agent defensive tackle who was his teammate at Oregon. Aside from that, not a ton of players because they're going to have an event here in a few weeks where Kyree Jackson's family is coming here to have kind of a celebration of life with his teammates, get to know his coaches and all that. And it's, you know, I think, again, going to be another somber event for everybody when, you know, they have Kyree Jackson's family in. Hopefully that gives them a little bit of closure, though, in order to, you know, be able to meet them and talk with them and for them to know how much he was loved. And we saw, you know, Brian Flores get emotional yesterday talking about just how excited he was to coach Kyree. He thought this is a guy who's been through adversity in his life and was, you know, really prepared well for the NFL, and that's another part of it too. And then, you know, they have another cornerback in the first day. Mekhi Blackman tears his ACL. I mean, just like not an easy time here for anybody at TCO Performance Center.
Yes, it's been one hit after another. So hopefully, you know, things can kind of just, you know, everybody be able to take a deep breath and relax and get to playing the best football that they can play. How have the quarterbacks looked in the first couple of days?
I think that Sam Darnold, if you didn't show me his stat sheet from his previous starts and his spots in the, you know, New York Jets and Carolina Panthers, I would have said this looks like a maybe not elite quarterback, but this looks like certainly a solid starting NFL quarterback with a well above average arm who has had excellent chemistry with his top two wide receivers to start. He's hit Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson on some really, really impressive deep throws that you went, okay, wow, that's a different level of velocity. And, of course, Kirk Cousins is a much better quarterback historically than Sam Darnold, but the arm strength is nowhere close. So it's been very impressive to see. Now, of course, I could just hear your audience in their heads saying, it's just practice in shorts. Well, I understand that. I don't have any more information yet. We're going to see how that comes along in the future. But I think the concept of the best receiver in the world, another very good wide receiver, when T.J. Hockenson comes back, you've got two good offensive tackles, and a Sam Darnold who's now kind of been around the block a little and has matured over the years. And I asked him yesterday about just, you know, what he learned last year from seeing the game in a different perspective. And basically he said, I came to understand that I could just sort of do my job and just play point guard was what, you know, he described it as. But that means not always trying to do too much. And I think that that's the number one thing for him. If he doesn't turn the ball over, he could be a very good quarterback for the team. If he keeps throwing lots of interceptions as he has previously, then he won't. And as far as J.J. McCarthy, he is locked in second-team reps, has not taken a single first-team rep so far. The Vikings are sticking to their word. They're taking it slow. But I thought yesterday he had a really good practice. I mean, I just thought he looked like in command and was throwing with some heat behind the ball, had a deep ball to Jalen Naylor, a line drive throw to Robert Tonyan over the middle that was very impressive. And, you know, I just remember Kellen Mond when he came in here, and we all watched him practice the first 2 days and went, oh, boy, that's not good. I haven't had that. I have not had that feeling. This is a quarterback that has to develop. There's no doubt about it. He does. He hasn't played a lot of football in his career. But the talent is there, and I think the confidence is there. And you can see those two things pretty quickly here at training camp.
Talking to Matthew Gallo, the Purple Insider, here on the Chad Harbin Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. One of the things that I haven't necessarily thought that much about, but I definitely feel like it's a strength, is the running back room. How do we envision the Ty Chandler-Aaron Jones dynamic?
I think that really depends on Ty Chandler. We know what Aaron Jones is. Aaron Jones is a superstar. He carries himself like a superstar. He practices like a superstar. He's got the stats, the accolades in the past, and the leadership and all those things. I mean, he's one of the players that is sort of in a Patrick Peterson way. When they join your team, you go, wow, like this guy is just different, right? But with Ty Chandler, he's different in terms of the gears that he has. There's not too many guys his size who run a 4.38 and that have the giddy up that he does and a little bit of power to go with it. But last year, the problem was the more they played him, the more it was exposed his struggles with the details, with the pass protection, with making sure you're hitting the right holes and reading the right blocks and things like that. And I don't think in year three we can make any excuses of, well, he's still young. This would be the year where you either figure that stuff out or you're a backup running back, right? But he has the acceleration. I think he can catch the ball pretty well out of the backfield. And ideally, what you would love to have is 175 carries for Aaron Jones, 150 for Ty Chandler, and both of them average 4.5 to 5 yards a carry. And all of a sudden, Kevin O'Connell's got his first good running game ever in his career as a head coach, because the last 2 years have been a nightmare. And I guess that's what I'm wondering is, you know, the offensive line, they're starting Blake Brandel at left guard. So that's very different than last year with Dalton Risner and Ezra Cleveland. As far as the quality potentially of a run blocker, they really like him as a run blocker. That could play into it. But I've never felt like Kevin O'Connell really had a great feeling for the run game, when to call it, how to call it, how to scheme it. And we're going to see if that's corrected if they have more talented running backs this year.
All right, final question for you, and then we'll let you go. After clearly an unfortunate and tragic death and an unfortunate injury to Mekhi Blackmon, where are we at with the cornerback position?
Yeah, they added a guy yesterday named Kobe Francis, who has played only a little tiny bit in the NFL. He's 25 years old, so more of a camp body type of vibe to that signing. And that's it so far. There are free agents out there. Stephon Gilmore won defensive MVP and played last year pretty well. Akilah Witherspoon, I haven't seen him sign yet. So there's a handful of guys who are out there as free agents, but I wonder if they are going to prefer to just see how it plays out, that injuries, you know, like Mekhi Blackmon's, they happen, and they probably planned on that. They still have a Caleb Evans who started a lot of games for them last year and had his moments. I would say that he had his ups and downs last year. And then Andrew Booth Jr., hey, it's on you, buddy. I mean, they're probably going to need him, right? No team ever goes through a whole season with their corners being healthy for the entire time. But I also wouldn't be shocked if after they go to Kyrie Jackson's funeral, they come back and maybe address that and try to look into free agency. But anytime you're trying to sign someone at this point in the year, you can't be super optimistic about what that's going to look like. So I think it's kind of, this is the group that you have, and they're going to have to hope that Shaq Griffin and Byron Murphy, the veterans, really step up here because they don't have very much depth at all now at that spot.
I lied. One more question, and the question is this. How excited are you, the same way that I am excited, but I know you're more excited, I'm sure, for your wife, Sloane Martin, to be broadcasting the Olympics for Peacock? I know that that is absolutely a proud and exciting moment for your family.
Yeah, she's going to be on in the middle of the night. I think it's going to be through her time there on every channel, I think. I think she'll be on the main channel when she's doing synchronized swimming in a week or so. And then maybe it's whatever other channels they own that are going to have Olympics in the middle of the night to start with the shooting events, which I've been watching her study for the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, I just, you know, we've been together since college. So when we met, she wanted to be a sports broadcaster. And even to just see her career come to fruition for Big Ten Network, for the Minnesota Lynx, has been incredibly rewarding because I know all the grind that went into it. But then when she got the phone call about this, it was kind of validation of all the hard work that she's put in for NBC to recognize her as one of the broadcasters that they would want to do the biggest sporting event in the world. So it's, even if some of the stuff requires her to be on at 1 o'clock in the morning or
doesn't
whatever,
yep.
It's really incredible, man. Thanks for mentioning it.
Oh, listen, I watched because I participated and was a part of the 96 Olympics and worked the basketball stuff. It is such a great opportunity, a great time. It's such an exciting thing to be a part of. And for Sloane to get this opportunity, I'm so happy for her. I'm so happy for you. It's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity for a lot of broadcasters. So, man, it's her time to shine, man. It's going to be awesome. It'll be fun. And, look, it's one of those deals where I don't know if you're like me. I just ran up during the Olympics. It doesn't matter every 4 years. I just randomly am watching different things that I would never watch.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, anything that's on, I'm watching it.
Yep. Exactly. All right, thanks so much, Matthew.
Thanks, Henry. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. That's Matthew Collar joining us, the Purple Insider himself, right here on The Good Neighbor. All right, coming up next, it's a big weekend for the Minnesota Twins. They can definitely make up some ground on the Cleveland Guardians. We'll talk about that next year on The Chad Arbin Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Me and Dave are trying to figure out what the heck is going on here in the opening ceremonies.
a little Paris fashion show going on, man. That one gal looked like a koosh ball.
We got some twerking going on. We got a Vin Diesel-looking guy rapping or singing. I don't know. We don't have the audio on it. It just looks – oh, it's funny, dude. Yeah, it's – and it's raining. Like, man, it's – heavy rain right now.
Yeah, it's been coming down the whole time, it looks like.
So,
been going for 2 hours, and they've no end in sight.
I hope Sloan's not getting rained on right now. it's a big weekend for the Twins because they can make up some ground against the Cleveland Guardians. Now, nothing is promised. The truest way that you can make up ground against Cleveland is when you see them next.
Actually, right? Beat them once?
When you, yeah.
Might help?
It would help our cause. Mightily, yes. Beating Cleveland when you face them, that is the game changer. And I'll take a look at the schedule here in a second and see how many more games we have left against them. But this weekend, they are facing the Phillies, who we just faced, right? And we know how good the Phillies are. Actually, we play Cleveland in a week and a half.
Yeah, four-gamer, and that's it.
Four games set at Target Field. Is that it?
No. And then three more mid-September. Or four more.
Four in September. So we got eight games left against Cleveland. Plenty of opportunities to go ahead and take them out. But this weekend, you can get some help. But this is the thing. You can't sit on your hands and be like, you know what, Philly, handle our lightweight. You're facing Detroit. You're better than Detroit. You know what Detroit's been? Detroit's been a bugaboo. Detroit just knocked off Cleveland the last couple games.
They're not bad. They're just a couple games under 500.
Yeah, just a couple games under 500. You are correct. So this is a situation where you're like, look, let's take care of business. Let's take two out of three from Detroit, at the very least, right? Win the series. Because
The
Mets are hot right now. Have you noticed that? The Mets started off the season and they were absolutely garbage, terrible. Did they just sweep the Yankees? I think they might have just swept the Yankees. If they didn't, maybe the Yankees won one game. But the bottom line is that's who you're facing on the road next after you leave Detroit is the New York Mets. So you can't be just sitting resting on your laurels like, yeah, you know what, we're within earshot of those guys. No, you got to go out there and take care of business.
They beat the Yankees, well, two times in a two-game series and just came off a win over the Braves.
Over the Braves.
Good win.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll see how things play out. But I think this is that opportunity where you can make up a little bit of ground and you get Royce Lewis back.
Yeah.
You get Royce Lewis back. Hopefully he's able to stay healthy,
keep
man.
Keep knocking. Keep knocking.
I know, man. I'm not trying to be a pessimist about this. But Royce Lewis has had multiple injuries this year, and he's also had two torn ACLs. In his career, in his short career.
You can't ignore it.
I mean, are we supposed to sit here and think that he's ever going to be completely healthy?
It's kind of a Byron Buxton kind of feel, isn't it?
Oh.
It's kind of you think a couple years down the road, let's just get what we get. Let's, you know, you hope for 100 games. Maybe that number's been thrown out a lot for Byron. And, you know, thankfully,
Royce is a younger guy, and it's just, oh.
I know. But the good thing is, I mean, Brooks Lee has, for the most part, been every bit of what Twins fans
Yeah, but Royce has want. That it factor, and that's the thing. He has when he steps in the box, you're like, okay, something special is about to happen. Oh, he just hit a home run.
Yes.
That's just, you can't make that up, man. It's just, and I'll say this, from day one, the moment that they – remember who was put out in center field? I was against that. I was like, I just don't feel right. Remember, because he's always been an infielder or whatever. Then we put him out center field, and remember he goes, tries to make the play up against the wall, and ends up hurting the ACL. It never felt like a good idea. I never liked the idea. Mm. And I know that people were like, well, hold on, he could play all these different positions. We didn't need that at that time. We didn't. I think that people were like, you know, the belief that, oh, man, he could just spark us. Because sparking you was one thing, because a person can spark you with the bat. And remember after he got hurt, remember who went down like the very next week? Was Carlos Correa went on the injured list right after that. And it was one of those deals where if not getting injured in center field, maybe could have been an infielder at that particular point. But his season was lost at that point. But my point is this. Royce Lewis is back. Hopefully you'll get Correa back sometime soon. Not really sure about that because it sounds like the window could be like 10 days to worst case scenario is like a month. You don't want that to happen. Guys are rallying, though. I give them that. Larnick's been playing better. We need to get Miranda back. Carlos Santana started off the year terrible. Carlos Santana's been pretty darn good the last
yes,
3 weeks.
Yes, he's been more than adequate, really. Yeah. I mean, as of recently, he's gotten a lot of big hits in big, big spots with the club.
And that's what I've been preaching, the big hits, and he's been getting those big hits, no question about it.
Let's make a move before the deadline, too, by the way.
Well, let's get
an arm.
That was the last part that I was going to mention. Have you seen the moves that have been made already?
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of moves in Major League Baseball today. There's been, in the last... less than 24 hours has been there's been at least three deals. Well, Rosarena goes to Seattle. The Orioles made a deal. And somebody else made a deal earlier today. Yeah, the Phillies and Orioles made a deal. And then there was one other deal. Paxton, the pitcher from the Dodgers, he got dealt to the Red Sox for a minor league player. So there's moves that are being made. Will the Minnesota Twins be buyers? My prediction, no. Because I don't.
Really? Because it won't be out there, because they won't be interested?
Because of the payroll situation and because they're trying to wait to get some guys back healthy. I think those are the two things. That's not me talking to anybody. That's just my gut feeling.
It's a disappointing gut feeling because I would really like another starting arm.
Well, I mean, one arm just got paid to Tagovailoa, the quarterback from the Miami Dolphins.
Tagovailoa?
He got a 4-year deal for $212
million. $212 million for 4 years?
Largest deal in Dolphins history.
Man.
He got overpaid.
Stay healthy, young man. Don't take any big hits.
Oh,
don't be wobbling around.
They are going
again.
To regret that.
Oof.
They're
going
to regret that. Will I regret today's edition of Am I Wrong? We'll see about that next year on the Chad Hartman Show. Am I wrong? You're always wrong.
No. Never been.
Sorry.
Hasn't happened. Hey, LeBron's
there. Had to break that news to you. And Devin Booker in the background.
Yeah. We're almost through the S's here in the Parade of Nations. 2 hours and 10 minutes.
This is your favorite part of the Olympics.
Goodness gracious, this is long. I like that they're breaking it up this
year. They're in the rain, though, so they're troopers.
They are. They're on the boats going over the Seine River.
Look at that.
Wow, it is really boring.
I told you that.
Holy
cow. I told you. That's
insane,
dude.
It's a downpour right now.
Yeah, it is a downpour.
You can't make LeBron stand out in that. Might get a cold.
He's got a poncho on. He's good.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. We're ruining our chances. Come on. We almost lost to South Sudan. We can't take chances with the Hoops team right now.
Oh, man.
Anyway, let's start with the Olympics with a little Am I Wrong, shall
okay.
we?
Okay, let's do it.
Over the next 2 weeks, best thing on TV. It will easily be the best thing on TV because it always is. You don't have to be into or even familiar with each event, each sport. You don't even have to know who the athletes, because the coverage on NBC and all the family of networks, the coverage they provide every time an Olympics rolls around. Summer,
and there's always built-in storylines.
Yes, exactly. Summer, winter, doesn't matter. It is consistently as good as anything in sports and beyond. Anyone not getting into it, watching the action, at least the primetime stuff. You know, turn it on in primetime each night. You don't have to watch it 24/7. But if you're not staying tuned to the Olympics, you are absolutely missing the boat, from sports to lifestyle to, just the drama of it all. It's the best.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, it is. No, you're right. You're right.
Of course I am.
You're right. I don't know how anybody would be out there and not enjoy the Olympics.
I'm with you.
Because it's sports, but it's more than sports. There's so many storylines about people overcoming obstacles and adversity. There's so many individuals that have had so much success their entire lives. And then there are those stories where you're just like, is this real? Is this a made for, the big screen type of, scenario? That's what makes the Olympics so great.
It's constant drama.
And you're watching the best athletes in the world.
Yes.
I mean, what's not to love?
Yes. It's the drama on the field or in the pool or at, the gymnastics meet. But as you said, it's the stories behind them. It's getting to know an athlete you never would have known. And
it's basically 24 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Across so many networks. What, there's Peacock, there's USA, there's NBC. What else? I feel like there's something.
Oh, there's the Olympic Channel, right?
Oh, there is
an
Olympic Channel.
The NBC Olympic Channel. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff on there. What are your top three summer Olympic events? What piques your interest? Because, I mean, every year it's things that you'd never expect to watch, right? That all of a sudden you're sitting at home at 1 in the morning. It's, I can't believe I'm hooked on this, but I'm hooked.
clearly I'm a basketball guy, so basketball is in my top three. I mean, you're not doing the Olympics right if you're not having track and field in your top three. Like, that's the biggest thing of the Olympics.
It's not in my top three.
But that's the most valued of all the bits of the Olympics is track and field. That's why they position it when they position it. They don't never start with track and field on the front end because they know track and field, you got to build up into the track and field. So track and field is top three. I said basketball. I mean, gymnastics. Gymnastics is amazing. But I'm somebody that watches everything. I watch volleyball. I watch water polo. Like, I watch the swimming. Actually, I take that back. Swimming over gymnastics.
See?
Yeah, swimming is in my top three.
Regular volleyball or beach volleyball?
I watch them both.
I know what you're watching.
I watch them both.
I know what you're watching.
I watch them both.
Swimming, hoops, gymnastics. Those are my top three. I can't get enough of them every 4 years.
How is track and field not in your top three?
You know what? I used to really love it, but I'm married to a swimmer, so I feel like I have just picked up knowledge about swimming. And the gymnastics, to me, watching what the gals and the guys can do, it's a different level of amazement. I mean, track and field, obviously, you're watching, whether it's Usain Bolt or Michael Johnson back in the day, you're watching people run faster than I can pedal a bike. But at the end of the day, it's just running. Whereas the gymnastics, you know, flying through the air and just doing these, you know, things with strength and dynamics, it's a different thing.
It's just running, but you think of all the history of it. You just mentioned Usain Bolt. This year we got Noah Lyles. You think about the Edwin Moses. You think about the who's our guy that Carl Lewis. Man, there's so much history.
Oh yeah, you absolutely can go back through all the history, back to Jesse Owens and beyond.
Jesse Owens,
you absolutely can.
Yep.
I think the biggest story today politically was Kamala Harris getting the endorsement of Barack and Michelle Obama, and I am loving the fact that, doesn't matter your political leanings, left or right, but that at least one party got a complete reset. We shook up everything, and now we have a candidate that we have not been hearing messaging from for the last months, or in some cases, years. And that, I think, inspires, we need a new rule in this country. We need a new rule because, let's face it, how many times have we heard about the divisiveness and turning down the temperature in our politics today? I think this is how we do it. No campaigning up until, let's call it 100, maybe I'll give you 150 days before an election. No rallies, no conventions, no media appearances that even mention a campaign. Nothing for those 100 to 150 days prior to an election. Because if you really, I think, want to turn down the temperature, bring a little bit of civility back to politics, how about just make us ignore it for a little while?
Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong. We need to know people's ideas, where they're at.
You don't think we can do that in 3 to 5 months?
No. No. They're unearthing. Have you seen how much video they've been unearthing of stuff that J.D. Vance...
cat lady started with that.
No, I'm talking about like old stuff. Of just ridiculous takes that he's had.
They've done that in the last week and a half since he was nominated.
Yeah, I just
added to the ticket.
I like to formulate my opinions about people within parties over the entire time. I don't want it to be confined to just 3 months before. Like, I want to learn about, you know, Gavin Newsom and what he projects to be if he ends up saying, I want to be the guy in 2028 or whoever, right? You know, Tim Walz's name is out there for potentially being vice president. I mean, you want to know about those people. So,
you don't think that continues to or contributes, I should say, to stress, to political stress, to both parties wanting to fight each other all day, every day, 365 days a year, every
day?
This
was never a problem in this country until something called MAGA, was created. So, no.
Oh, I disagree. I think it started well before that.
We didn't have this. We didn't have when the Bushes were in office, we had this type of no. We're always going to have divides, but it's not going to be where people are going to be at each other's throats like that. That's not that has been something that's been created since 2016. It's never been like this.
I think it's been turned up, but I think it began a lot before that. And I think if you told Donald Trump or name your candidate on either side, look, I don't care if you're planning to run in 4 years, you have to not talk about it. You have to shut up about it until, like I said, I would say 100 to 150 days before
election. I don't think
that
really serves
us. I don't think Donald Trump holding rallies 2 years ago helps anybody other than, you know, it helps his base hate the other side more and in turn helps the other side hate Donald Trump and his base.
I mean, I think that's kind of ridiculous holding rallies and stuff like that 2 years ahead of time. I agree with you on that. But just in terms of getting ahead on it, I don't have that much of a problem with it. You're wrong there, but we'll see if you're wrong about anything else. We will continue, Am I Wrong, next year on the Chad Hartman Show. All right, final segment of the Chad Hartman Show. We're doing Am I Wrong.
What time we got first, Henry? Can you give me a little time check?
Oh, yes, I will give you a time check. It's 2:53. Thank you. Always got my back. It's the Lennox Construction Time Check. Time to invest in Minnesota-made Infinity from Marvin Windows and receive 75% off installation labor.
All right, I know you've been involved with youth in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you still obviously help out. We got the cookie, for goodness sake, helping out Boulder Options.
And the ice
Thompson.
Cream. Mm-hmm.
And the ice cream as well. Youth sports, I mean this quite seriously. I'm very worried about what youth sports has become in this country. Very, very concerned. And now that I have kids, my oldest is 7, just finished off a softball season. She loved it. And I just worry what it's become. And it's this one stems from an email I got a couple days ago from one of the local organizations touting their traveling ball program, traveling baseball program, and all the things that they accomplished this year. And all these bullet points were things like breaking up the number of ball games that they played, this massive number of ball games, and all the tournaments their teams are playing for, traveling out of state to all these tournaments. And we're talking from 8 years old on up to 15, 16. And I just couldn't help but think that, when we're talking higher level youth sports, in-house leagues is something different. I really think it's broken and completely going down the wrong path. We're talking, whether it's travel, baseball, or softball, AAU hoops, elite hockey, whatever it is. I really think this country needs to stop putting so much of a focus on playing games specifically and get back to learning the game in practice environments. Because I think if teams and organizations put more of an emphasis on practice in season, not saying we're going to play 50 games in season, and by the way, then you're going to come back 6 months later in the off season and have to do private training and get these practices going at these, training centers.
Mm-hmm.
I really think if you cut down the games, get back to in-season practicing, you'll not only improve skills in that sport, but then you'll also get the kids that can also get back to actually playing and excelling in other sports that they want to play and excel in.
Am I wrong?
I do think that practicing does matter a lot more than what people give credit for. Now, but I don't want to take away from games. Like, games do matter.
They matter, but I don't think they matter nearly as much as...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Am I wrong? You're always wrong.
No, never been.
Sorry.
Hasn't happened. Hey, LeBron's
had to break that news
there.
For you. And Devin Booker in the background.
Yeah. We're almost through the S's here in the Parade of Nations. 2 hours and 10 minutes.
This is your favorite part of the Olympics.
Goodness gracious, this is long. I like that they're breaking it up this
year. They're in the rain, though, so they're troopers.
They are. They're on the boats going over the Seine River.
Look at that.
Wow, it is really boring.
I told
now.
You that.
Holy
I told
cow.
You. It That's is a insane,
downpour
dude.
Right now.
Yeah, it is a downpour.
You can't make LeBron stand out in that. Might get a cold.
He's got a poncho on. He's good.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. We're ruining our chances. Come on. We almost lost to South Sudan. We can't take chances with the Hoops team right now.
Oh, man.
Anyway, let's start with the Olympics with a little Am I Wrong, shall
okay.
we?
Okay, let's do it.
Over the next 2 weeks, best thing on TV. It will easily be the best thing on TV because it always is. You don't have to be into or even familiar with each event, each sport. You don't even have to know who the athletes, because the coverage on NBC and all the family of networks, the coverage they provide every time an Olympics rolls around. Summer,
and there's always built-in storylines.
Yes, exactly. Summer, winter, doesn't matter. It is consistently as good as anything in sports and beyond. Anyone not getting into it, watching the action, at least the primetime stuff. You know, turn it on in primetime each night. You don't have to watch it 24/7. But if you're not staying tuned to the Olympics, you are absolutely missing the boat, from sports to, you know, lifestyle to, you know, just the drama of it all. It's the best.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, it is. No, you're right. You're right.
Of course I am.
You're right. I don't know how anybody would be out there and not enjoy the Olympics.
I'm with you.
Because it's sports, but it's more than sports. There's so many storylines about people overcoming obstacles and adversity. There's so many individuals that have had so much success their entire lives. And then there are those stories where you're just like, is this real? Is this a made for, the big screen type of, you know, scenario? That's what makes the Olympics so great.
It's constant drama.
And you're watching the best athletes in the world.
Yes.
I mean, what's not to love?
Yes. It's the drama on the field or in the pool or at, you know, the gymnastics meet. But as you said, it's the stories behind them. It's getting to know an athlete you never would have known. And
it's basically 24 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Across so many networks. What, there's Peacock, there's USA, there's NBC. What else? I feel like there's something.
Oh, there's the Olympic Channel, right?
Oh, there is
an Olympic
Channel.
The NBC Olympic Channel. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff on there. What are your top three summer Olympic events? What piques your interest? Because, I mean, every year it's things that you'd never expect to watch, right? That all of a sudden you're sitting at home at 1 in the morning. It's, I can't believe I'm hooked on this, but
well,
I'm hooked.
Clearly I'm a basketball guy, so basketball is in my top three. I mean, you're not doing the Olympics right if you're not having track and field in your top three. Like, that's the biggest thing of the Olympics.
It's not in my top three.
But that's the most valued of all the bits of the Olympics is track and field. That's why they position it when they position it. They don't never start with track and field on the front end because they know track and field, you got to build up into the track and field. So track and field is top three. I said basketball. I mean, gymnastics. Gymnastics is amazing. But I'm somebody that watches everything. I watch volleyball. I watch water polo. Like, I watch the swimming. Actually, I take that back. Swimming over gymnastics.
See?
Yeah, swimming is in my top three.
Regular volleyball or beach volleyball?
I watch them both.
I know what you're watching.
I watch them both.
I know what you're watching.
I watch them both. There you go.
Swimming, hoops, gymnastics. Those are my top three. Can't get enough of them every 4 years. I won't.
How is track and field not in your top three?
You know what? I used to really love it, but I'm married to a swimmer, so I feel like I have just picked up knowledge about swimming. And the gymnastics, to me, watching what the gals and the guys can do, it's a different level of amazement. I mean, track and field, obviously, you're watching, whether it's Usain Bolt or Michael Johnson back in the day, you're watching people run faster than I can pedal a bike. But at the end of the day, it's just running. Whereas the gymnastics, you know, flying through the air and just doing these, you know,
it's
things of strength
running,
and dynamics, it's a different thing.
It's just running, but you think of all the history of it. You just mentioned Usain Bolt. This year we got Noah Lyles. You think about the Edwin Moses. You think about the who's our guy that Carl Lewis. Mm-hmm. Man, there's so much history.
Oh yeah, you absolutely can go back through all the history, back to Jesse Owens and beyond.
Jesse Owens,
you absolutely can.
Yep.
I think the biggest story today politically was Kamala Harris getting the endorsement of Barack and Michelle Obama. And I am loving the fact that doesn't matter your political leanings, left or right, but that at least one party got a complete reset. We shook up everything, and now we have a candidate that we have not been hearing messaging from for the last months, or in some cases, years. And that, I think, inspires, we need a new rule in this country. We need a new rule because, let's face it, how many times have we heard about the divisiveness and the, you know, turning down the temperature in our politics today? I think this is how we do it. No campaigning up until, let's call it 100, maybe I'll give you 150 days before an election. No rallies, no conventions, no media appearances that even mention a campaign. Nothing for those 100 to 150 days prior to an election, because if you really, I think, want to turn down the temperature, bring a little bit of civility back to politics, how about just make us ignore it for a little while?
Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong. We need to know people's ideas, where they're at.
You don't think we can do that in 3 to 5 months?
No. No. They're unearthing. Have you seen how much video they've been unearthing of stuff that J.D. Vance?
Childless cat lady started with that.
No, I'm talking about like old stuff of just ridiculous takes that he's had.
They've done that in the last week and a half since he was nominated.
Yeah, I
added to the ticket.
I'm not anti. No, I want to see who the. I like to formulate my opinions about people within parties over the entire time. I don't want it to be confined to just 3 months before. Like, I want to learn about, you know, Gavin Newsom and what he projects to be if he ends up saying, I want to be the guy in 2028 or whoever, right? You know, Tim Walz's name is out there for potentially being vice president. You want to know about those people. So, no.
You don't think that continues to, or contributes, I should say, to stress, to political stress, to both parties wanting to fight each other all day, every day, 365 days a year, every
year? This was never a problem in this country until something called MAGA was created. So, no.
Oh, I disagree. It started well before that.
We didn't have this. We didn't have – when the Bushes were in office, we had this type of – no, no. We're always going to have divides, but it's not going to be where people are going to be at each other's throats like that. That's not that has been something that's been created since 2016. Never been like this.
I think it's been turned up, but I think it began a lot before that. And I think if you told Donald Trump or name your candidate on either side, look, I don't care if you're planning to run in 4 years, you have to not talk about it. You have to shut up about it until, like I said, I would say 150 days
before
election.
I don't think that really serves us.
I don't think Donald Trump holding rallies 2 years ago helps anybody other than, you know, it helps his base hate the other side more, and in turn, helps the other side hate Donald Trump and his base.
I mean, I think that's kind of ridiculous, holding rallies and stuff like that 2 years ahead of time. I agree with you on that. But just in terms of getting ahead on it, I don't have that much of a problem with it. You're wrong there,
mm-hmm.
But we'll see if you're wrong about anything else. We will continue, Am I Wrong, next year on the Chad Hartman Show. All right, final segment of the Chad Hartman Show. We're doing Am I Wrong.
What time we got first, Henry? Can you give me a little time check?
Oh, yes. I will give you a time check. It's 2:53. Thank you. Always got my back. It's the Lenis Construction Time Check. Time to invest in Minnesota-made Infinity from Marvin Windows and receive 75% off installation labor.
All right. I know you've been involved with youth in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you still obviously help out. We got the cookie, for goodness sake, helping out Boulder Options.
And the ice cream. Mm-hmm.
And the ice cream as well. Youth sports, I mean this quite seriously. I'm very worried about what youth sports has become in this country. Very, very concerned. And now that I have, you know, kids, my oldest is 7, just finished off a softball season. She loved it. And I just worry what it's become. And it's this one stems from an email I got a couple days ago from one of the local organizations touting their traveling ball program, traveling baseball program, and all the things that they accomplished this year. And all these bullet points were things like bragging up the number of ball games that they played, this massive number of ball games, and all the tournaments their teams are playing for, traveling out of state to all these tournaments. And we're talking from 8 years old on up to 15, 16. And I just couldn't help but think that, you know, when we're talking higher level youth sports, in-house leagues is something different. But I really think it's broken and completely going down the wrong path. If we're talking, you know, whether it's travel, baseball or softball, AAU hoops, you know, elite hockey, whatever it is. I really think this country needs to stop putting so much of a focus on playing games specifically and get back to learning the game in practice environments. Because I think if teams and organizations put more of an emphasis on practice in season, not saying we're going to play 50 games in season, and by the way, then you're going to come back 6 months later in the off season and have to do private training and get these practices going at these, you know, training centers.
Mm-hmm.
I really think if you cut down the games, get back to in-season practicing, you'll not only improve skills in that sport, but then you'll also get the kids that can also get back to actually playing and excelling in other sports that they want to, you know, play and excel in.
Am I wrong?
I do think that practicing does matter a lot more than what people give credit for. Now, but I don't want to take away from games. Like, games do matter.
They matter, but I don't think they matter nearly as much as practice, especially for the youth when you're still learning and honing your skills.
But at what point does that focus go away, though? Like, in the early ages, like, there comes a point where the games do matter a little bit more. Like, do we say, oh, well, up until 14, is it 15? At what point do we drop that off?
If you're a ball player, let's say you're an infielder, how much value do you get out of a game where you get 3, 4, maybe 5 at-bats? You might get 3, 4 balls hit your way during a game. How much more value can you get in a practice situation for even an hour,
mm-hmm.
2 hours? How much more improvement can you get versus, like I said, the game where you're going to get get action for about 5 minutes?
But I guess my pushback on that is, in sports, you can't baby everybody. Some people are going to get better, whether it's practice or game, they're going to practice by themselves. The guy that's over there shooting 50 threes, make 50, you know, in terms of making threes, outside of all the practice, outside of all the games, that's refining their game, those are people that are going to push themselves to the next level.
I also think you're breeding specialization in that point.
Not necessarily. Do it with anything. Do it with tennis. You know, back in the day when I was a kid, you used to hit the tennis against the wall and, you know.
Yeah, and then in the winter, you were playing hoop instead of going to tennis camp.
That is true. All right, John Hines is in for Jason DeRussia next year on The Good Neighbor. All right, final segment of the Chad Harbin Show. We're doing MRO.
What time we got first, Henry? Can you give me a little time check?
Oh, yes, I will give you a time check. It's 2:53. Thank you. Always got my back. It's the Lennox Construction Time Check. Time to invest in Minnesota-made Infinity from Marvin Windows and receive 75% off installation labor.
All right, I know you've been involved with youth in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you still obviously help out. We got the cookie, for goodness sake, helping out Boulder Options.
And the
Derek
ice cream.
Thompson. Mm-hmm. And the ice cream as well. Youth sports, I mean this quite seriously. I'm very worried about what youth sports has become in this country. Very, very concerned. And now that I have, you know, kids, my oldest is 7, just finished off a softball season. She loved it. And I just worry what it's become. And it's... this one stems from an email I got a couple days ago from one of the local organizations touting their traveling ball program, traveling baseball program, and all the things that they accomplished this year. And all these bullet points were things like breaking up the number of ball games that they played, this massive number of ball games, and all the tournaments their teams are playing for, traveling out of state to all these tournaments. And we're talking from 8 years old on up to 15, 16. And I just couldn't help but think that, you know, when we're talking higher level youth sports, in-house leagues is something different. But I really think it's broken and completely going down the wrong path. If we're talking, you know, whether it's travel, baseball or softball, AAU hoops, you know, elite hockey, whatever it is, I really think this country needs to stop putting so much of a focus on playing games specifically and get back to learning the game in practice environments. Because I think if teams and organizations put more of an emphasis on practice in season, not saying we're going to play 50 games in season, and by the way, then you're going to come back 6 months later in the off season and have to do private training and get these practices going at these, you know, training centers.
Mm-hmm.
I really think if you cut down the games, get back to in-season practicing, you'll not only improve skills in that sport, but then you'll also get the kids that can also get back to actually playing and excelling in other sports that they want to, you know, play and excel in.
Am I wrong?
I do think that practicing does matter a lot more than what people give credit for. Now, but I don't want to take away from games. Like, games do matter.
They matter, but I don't think they matter nearly as much as practice, especially for the youth when you're still learning and honing your skills.
But at what point does that focus go away, though? Like, in the early ages, like, there comes a point where the games do matter a little bit more. Like, do we say, oh, well, up until 14, is it 15? At what point do we drop that off?
If you're a ball player, let's say you're an infielder, how much value do you get out of a game where you get 3, 4, maybe 5 at-bats? You might get 3, 4 balls hit your way during a game. How much more value can you get in a practice situation for even an hour,
mm-hmm.
2 hours? How much more improvement can you get versus, like I said, the game where you're going to get action for about 5 minutes?
But I guess my pushback on that is, in sports, you can't baby everybody. Some people are going to get better, whether it's practice or game. They're going to practice by themselves. The guy that's over there shooting 50 threes, make 50, you know, in terms of making threes, outside of all the practice, outside of all the games, that's refining their game, those are people that are going to push themselves to the next level.
I also think you're breeding specialization in that point.
Not necessarily. Do it with anything. Do it with tennis. You know, back in the day when I was a kid, you used to hit the tennis against the wall and, you know.
Yeah, and then in the winter, you were playing hoop instead of going to tennis camp.
That is true. All right, John Hines is in for Jason DeRusha next year on The Good Neighbor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.